Nemoto presents classical music giants. Sergei Prokofiev, Irony and Lyricism. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 11 minutes. In 1918, as Russia collapsed into revolution and civil war, a young composer boarded a train and set out across Siberia. He carried with him not only his luggage, but also his scores, his dreams, and a determination to find a stage big enough for his music. His name was Sergei Prokofiev, and he was only 27. He would soon land in America, dazzling and bewildering audiences with music that was sharp as steel and bright as neon. Yet even as he traveled the world, his heart remained tied to Russia, and his life would become a story of exile, return, triumph, and tragedy, all etched in sound. Prokofiev was a man of contradictions, brash and lyrical, ironic and sincere, a modernist who loved the simplicity of folk song. His works capture the turbulence of the 20th century with wit, daring, and brilliance. Sergei Sergeyevich Prokofiev was born in 1891 in Santsovka, a rural estate in Ukraine, then part of the Russian Empire. His father managed the estate. His mother was a cultured amateur pianist. From her, young Sergei absorbed music from the earliest age. He composed his first piano piece at 5, his first opera at 9. He was precocious, arrogant, full of energy. Neighbors recalled a boy striding about the countryside with notebooks of scores, convinced he was destined for greatness. At 13, he entered the St. Petersburg Conservatory, where his sharp tongue and daring experiments quickly set him apart. He studied with great masters, including Rimsky-Korsakov, but often clashed with his teachers. He loved dissonance, speed, and shock. His student works scandalized the conservative faculty. Yet even then, his talent was undeniable. By his late teens, he was already being noticed as a pianist of extraordinary brilliance, capable of playing his own difficult works with fearless attack. In 1914, at the conservatory's graduation competition, Prokofiev performed his own piano concerto No. 1. The faculty, half amused and half scandalized, awarded him first prize. It was clear that this young man was not only talented but audacious, unwilling to follow rules. He relished his image as the enfant terrible of Russian music. The First World War disrupted life, but Prokofiev continued to compose. His Scythian Suite, written in 1915, was so ferocious in its dissonance and pounding rhythms that audiences were stunned. Critics called it barbaric, even unplayable. Prokofiev delighted in their shock. Yet behind the aggression, his music always carried wit, irony, and often a vein of lyrical beauty. He was never only one thing. The Revolution of 1917 left Russia in chaos. Prokofiev, restless and ambitious, decided to leave. Unlike Rachmaninoff, who mourned exile, Prokofiev treated it almost as an adventure. He traveled east, across Siberia, then sailed to America. There he launched himself as a composer-pianist, giving recitals that mixed his own works with classics. Audiences were divided. Some thrilled to his energy, others baffled by his modernism. His opera The Love for Three Oranges, premiered in Chicago in 1921, showed his satirical side, a fairy tale filled with absurdity, irony, and sparkling music. It was unlike anything audiences had heard. From America, Prokofiev moved to Paris, where he joined the circle of Diaghilev and the ballet's Russes. He composed ballets such as Chout, The Buffoon, Le Pas d'Aisieux, The Steel Step, and The Prodigal Son. They combined biting rhythms, vivid orchestration, and sharp humor. In these years, he also wrote piano concertos, symphonies, and chamber music, each carrying his unmistakable voice, spiky, energetic, yet always clear. Unlike some modernists, Prokofiev never abandoned tonality completely. He loved melody, even when he fractured it. He once said his style was built on four elements: classical clarity, modern dissonance, motoric rhythm, and lyrical song. These four strands run through all his works. Yet even as he enjoyed success abroad, Prokofiev felt a tug toward Russia. He missed its language, its audiences, its soil. In the 1930s, as Stalin consolidated power, Prokofiev made the fateful decision to return to the Soviet Union. At first, he was welcomed as a prodigal son. He was given commissions, honored as a national artist. He composed works that blended modernity with accessibility, such as Lieutenant Kaige, a suite based on a satirical film score, full of humor and unforgettable melodies. He wrote the ballet Romeo and Juliet, whose lush themes and pounding dances made it one of the greatest ballet scores ever written. Even today, the Dance of the Nights resounds in concert halls and popular culture alike. In 1938, he composed the score for Sergei Eisenstein's film Alexander Nevsky, depicting the Russian people's resistance to invasion. Its massive choruses and driving rhythms created one of the most powerful film scores ever written, later reworked into a cantata. During these years, Prokofiev seemed to flourish, admired both at home and abroad. But life in Stalin's Russia was treacherous. The regime demanded that art serve the people, be clear, optimistic, and free of formalism. Prokofiev tried to balance his modern instincts with official demands. Sometimes he succeeded brilliantly. His Peter and the Wolf, written in 1936 to introduce children to the orchestra, remains one of his most beloved works, charming, witty, and perfectly clear. His war sonatas for piano captured the violence and tension of the time with searing intensity. Yet the pressures mounted. In 1948, the government denounced him along with Shostakovich and other composers for formalism. Many of his works were banned. His health declined, his marriage collapsed, and his final years were marked by struggle. Astonishingly, he died on March 5, 1953, the very same day as Stalin. His death passed almost unnoticed in the flood of news about the dictator. Despite the difficulties, Prokofiev left a body of work that is astonishing in range and vitality. His seven symphonies chart his journey from youthful experiment to mature reflection. His piano concertos remain among the most brilliant and challenging in the repertoire, combining ferocity with lyricism. His ballets, especially Romeo and Juliet and Cinderella, are cornerstones of the stage. His operas, from the love for Three Oranges to War and Peace, show his theatrical flair and his capacity for grandeur. His film scores, including Alexander Nevsky and Ivan the Terrible, helped shape the language of cinematic music. What makes Prokofiev unique is his balance of opposites. He could be biting and satirical, yet tender and lyrical. He could write music that mocked and music that uplifted, sometimes in the same piece. His melodies are unforgettable, often simple, even childlike, yet framed in harmonies that twist with irony. His rhythms drive forward with unstoppable energy, yet always with clarity. He once described his music as a mixture of iron and velvet. That duality defines him. As a man, he was aloof, witty, sometimes arrogant, yet also shy and insecure. He loved chess, fast cars, and puzzles. He kept notebooks filled with ideas, sketches, aphorisms. He could be harsh to colleagues, but devoted to his children. He was not a political thinker, and his decision to return to the Soviet Union has been endlessly debated. Some see it as naive, others as loyalty, others as tragic miscalculation. What is clear is that it shaped his later life profoundly. Today, Prokofiev stands as one of the great voices of the 20th century. His works are performed everywhere, loved by audiences, respected by musicians. Children still giggle at Peter and the Wolf, dancers still thrill to Romeo and Juliet, pianists still sweat over his concertos. His music bridges the gap between modernism and tradition, between innovation and accessibility. He proved that one could be daring without losing melody, ironic without losing heart. When we hear him, we hear the 20th century in all its contradictions, the joy of invention, the shadow of tyranny, the clash of iron and velvet. Sergei Prokofiev, the boy who wrote his first opera at 9, the young man who shocked his teachers, the émigré who dazzled Paris and New York, the patriot who returned to a dangerous homeland, left us a legacy that is as brilliant as it is human. He is a giant not only because of his output, but because of his voice. Sharp, witty, lyrical, and unforgettable. Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Giants.